Hey, everybody. We're going to start a series. I don't know exactly how long we're going to go. We'll see for, you know, at least a couple of weeks, at least maybe three. Something that's just been on my heart. It's you probably heard me talk about a little bit about this for the last several months. I just keep praying about this for my own life, and I pray about it for you. And it's just this word, stronger, stronger. I don't know about you, but I just want my life to be stronger. I want my life to be stronger in my marriage, stronger as a dad, stronger as a pastor, stronger as a leader. I want to be stronger in every area of my life, spirit, soul, body. If you're a student, you probably would gravitate toward that. I want to be stronger in certain subjects. I want to be stronger in my personal skills dealing with people. I want to be stronger in not allowing things to hurt me and offend me and tick me off. I want to be stronger on a bicycle. Come on, somebody. Amen. I rode up yesterday with some guys on the backside of La Jolla. I don't know if y'all have been on the backside of La Jolla on like you've already been through La Jolla and you're going to go back like into Highway 5 on that backside of Mount Soledad, that Via Capri. Come on, somebody. It's like this. I'm not kidding you. It's like this. And I was going up, and I don't know if you've been on a bike, but I'm in the easiest gear, and I'm standing up, and I'm pedaling, and the wheels almost stop. And you're going, Jesus, help me just a couple more strokes. Come on, somebody. But we made it. Come on, everybody. Just made it, right? So just get stronger, right? And the only way you're going to find out if you're getting stronger is if you put yourself in getting stronger places. What's really interesting about getting stronger, you know, I lift weights a little bit. I know you can tell. And what's interesting that I see at the gym, the guys that really keep getting stronger, you know what they do? They have a thing called a spotter. And a spotter is somebody like on a bench press. Y'all know what that is. They're on their back and they got these big weights and they're pushing it up. Well, the spotter is behind them and the spotter has got his hands not helping, only if he needs help. And so a guy might be able to do like 7 reps and he's got some big weight on there. I mean, come on, like some huge weight. And he's just, the spotter isn't, his job isn't to lift the weight. He's just to kind of help them a little bit. And just knowing that somebody's there just kind of helping you just a little bit, it's amazing how much you kind of like just a little bit more. And so today, in the next several, you know, weeks, hopefully we're just going to be camped around this about just be stronger. And so what are areas of your life, just right now, as you just kind of think through the mind, your mind can think quick. What areas of your life that you just say, I want to be stronger in? I don't want to be like a little wiener Christian concerning offense. And I don't want to be a little ticky-tacky and somebody touch me and I just get offended. I want to be stronger in that. I want to be stronger in my marriage and just, you know, I'll tell you what, can I just tell you this? The lie of the devil, and this is, we talk about this, Kimberly and I, married 32 years. Can I tell you this? The lie of the devil is your marriage will get better as it goes on. Can I tell you something? Your marriage will not get better as it goes on. I can tell you for 32 years, we ain't got any marriage trouble, by the way. But I guarantee you, this is true. We constantly have communication issues. We have to talk about stuff. We have to talk it out. I'm not hearing right. I'm not listening right. I'm not saying it right. And doggone it, I want to get stronger in that. Because I talked to a guy the other day, and he was married for 27 years, and they just got a divorce. I'm going, 27? 27? That's kind of a weird number. Seems like after that, you kind of figure it out. And either kind of like put up with each other. Come on, somebody. Like, oh, well, you know, whatever. You know, come on. Or you've worked it out. But come on, I want to get stronger. Anybody want to get stronger in any area? Yeah. So where we're going to go in the next couple of weeks, we're going to kind of hone it down to really 3 areas. We'll hone it down. I want to get strong, and I hope you do too, in spirit, in soul, and in body. Spirit, soul, body. The 3 areas of how what make up your life. But even before we go there, let's kind of set some stuff up this week, and we won't go real far, but we'll get into one scripture that I've been thinking about for about 3 months, and I just want to give it to you because it's a key scripture for us, I believe, really, for the rest of the year and going into the new year. That will just set our stage, set the tone for what God wants to do in your life and through our life as God keeps building the church here at Spectrum. Is that all right, everybody? Notice on the screen, though, let me give you 4 bullet points. Come on, write these down. Come on, take a picture of them or something like that. When I go to a conference, I just start taking pictures of the screen so I can have them, but maybe you want that. Talking about stronger, thought number 1, nothing happens by accident. You're not going to get stronger by accident. You're not going to wake up one morning and say, you know what? Wow, I just lost 5 pounds overnight. It ain't going to happen, baby. Ain't going to happen. Ain't going to happen. You have to make up your mind, I'm going to get stronger in my body. You're not going to wake up one morning and all of a sudden have a great marriage. It's not going to happen. You're going to have to make up your mind, I'm going to work on my marriage. I'm going to get stronger. I'm going to have the strength of God's word working in this certain area of my life. Maybe it's my peace. My peace. I'm agitated. I'm angry. I say things quickly. I'm a thrower. I'm a stomper. I'm a door slammer. That's not productive. And if you've got kids, it's really doubly not productive because monkey see, monkey do. Your kids will wind up doing that, repeating exactly the thing that you don't want to happen. It's so amazing how kids gravitate towards negative behaviors quicker than they do positive behaviors. So just be aware of that. Nothing happens by accident. A second thought for you to understand, if we're not getting stronger, we are getting weaker. There's only two ways. There's no stay in the middle. There's no stationary. There's no float in life. Either you're getting stronger or you're getting weaker. Either you're getting stronger mentally, you're getting stronger, you know, financially, or you're getting weaker. That's just a reality. That's not negative. It's just a fact. Throughout life, I want to encourage you, life has a way of numbing you down and dumbing you down and telling you things that you don't want to happen in your life, such as the older you get, the weaker you get. Who said that? Why would I ever want to believe that? Why would I ever want to believe the best days in my life are behind me? Why would you want to believe that? So I want to encourage you, fight that. Fight that. Fight that thought. Allow a strong thought from the Word of God to come to you that says that does not have to be you. And find people, find Bible characters that was not so. Such as a guy named Moses, 120 years old, and he died and the Bible says his eyes weren't dim. Come on, somebody. How about Caleb, 84 years old, he said, give me this mountain. I've been in the wilderness for 40 years marching around, and I'm ready to take that mountain that Moses talked to us about 40 years earlier. Give me this mountain. Come on, 84-year-old mountain climber. Come on, somebody. So we've seen things, and we're very well aware, and we can Google things, and we read stories, and you can find people of all ages doing all kinds of things, whether it's inventing things, starting businesses, being successful, taking trips, building things, whatever it is, starting churches, it makes no difference. I talked to a guy the other day that a man was 70 years old and decided it was time for him to start a church. Well, praise the Lord. Come on. Most people are thinking about retirement. He's thinking about refirement and just doing something with his life in a different direction. So wherever you're at, do not buy the lie. Do not buy the lie that just because you're getting older, you're getting weaker. But the fact is, if you're not getting stronger, you are getting weaker. You are getting weaker. Third thought that we need to look at. No one stays at the same level in anything. You don't stay at the same level at anything. Never. Mentally, spiritually, you can be a spiritual high at a certain stage of your life. Maybe you went to a conference. Maybe you decided to kind of press in with God in a season. Maybe you went going through a difficult time and you decided to shake off your dependence on TV or your dependence maybe on food or pleasure maybe for a season and maybe fast and pray and just seek God. And during that time, man, you just felt like you could charge hell with a squirt gun. Come on, everybody. Spiritually strong, just spiritually strong. But then what happens for most of us, and I'm included, most of us, after that season ends or after the Band-Aid gets on and after the bleeding stops and after the feeling goes away and after maybe life kind of settles down, what do? We revert back to old lifestyle and we don't press like we should keep pressing. And so I find, you find, you start maybe exercising the body thing and then you start making progress and then life creeps in. Maybe you ladies, you have a baby and that takes time away and guys, the schedule, and now you're taking kids to soccer and now that gets, and so then you try to go back. Come on, it's hard. So we don't stay the same in anything. No, whatever level, unless you keep having the same exertion and pressure against it, we slip back. Last thought here is, gosh, this isn't a hopeless message. This is a hopeful message. But I think we need to be real with ourselves. Because one of the things, if you get a chance to know me well, I just don't like people pandering to me. It's if I'm weak, tell me I'm weak. Just tell me. Can I just say it this way? Pardon the grassroots street language. If I suck in this area, would you please be a friend of mine and tell me, Gary, you just flat out suck. That's the way I'm wired. I'm black and white. I just am. I don't want you to tell me, well, you know, you really did. No, Gary, you suck. You suck. At least then from that point, I'll know that I can improve. Last thought. The strength you have today isn't enough for you tomorrow. You need to know that. The strength you have today isn't enough for you tomorrow. There's going to be things that come your way tomorrow that you're desperately going to need the power of God and the presence of God and the strength of God in your life. So you're going to have to begin working into your daily regimen. How can I get stronger? What do I need to do? What are areas, Holy Spirit, I'm asking you, what are areas in my life that I've allowed this DVD to play that are weakening me? What's going on in my life? As we see up on the shore of our amazing county, houses that are on the beach, that if they do not address the erosion problem, the $7.9 million house will go into the ocean. Saying, we don't need to talk about it, we don't need to think about it. No, it is weakening over time. You must address that problem. If you don't, that which was strong will become weak, and it always costs you more money on the back end. More mental money, more emotional money, more financial money, more time money, whatever it is. So the key is, wherever you and I are at, is to get in the groove of becoming strong and keep becoming stronger. Stronger. Psalm 84. Look on the screen here real quick. Psalm 84, verse 5 through 7. I want to read from the New Living Translation. Notice what it says. What joy for those whose strength comes from the Lord, who have set their minds on a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. When they walk through the valley of weeping, it will become a place of refreshing springs. The autumn rains will clothe it with blessings. They will continue to grow stronger, and each one of them will appear before God in Jerusalem. This is a great, great scripture. I've been reading this for years, and I just love this because it tells me so many things in these three verses that I need on a regular basis. It tells me, number one, in verse 5, it says that the joy is going to come to me when I just have, when I'm understanding that my joy isn't in myself. My joy and the strength that's going to come in my life is coming from God. It's coming from the Lord. So makes no difference what's going on in my life, that my joy and my attention and my focus, if it's directed toward God, that my joy will bring strength into my life. And Nehemiah actually says this concerning the Word of God, that the joy of the Lord is your strength. Come on, everybody. So when you understand when the Word of God is being preached, that you say, "Whoo, that's making me happy right now," strength is going to come to your life. Strength is going to come to your life. But it says also here in verse 6, it tells us something amazing. It talks about that they walk through the valley of weeping. In one translation, it calls it the valley of Baca. And commentaries, they all said the same thing. I've read 100 of them. And they all, not quite that many, forgive me. That's exaggeration. All of them say this. They can't identify this valley of Baca. They can't identify if this thing, this valley of weeping, if it was a real place. It's nowhere in Israel. It's nowhere identified. Like, you know, the River Jordan is a real place. The Valley of Baca isn't a real place. What David is saying is that there are going to be times in your life that you walk through a valley of weeping. It's called life. It's called the fire. It's called what life is going to throw at you. Notice what it says. When they walk through the valley of weeping, it will become a place of refreshing springs. What's that mean? Just when I'm walking through like a terrible time, a difficult time, all of a sudden the rain of God is going to come in my life and it's all going to make sense? Yes and no. Here's the no part. It doesn't happen automatically. Here's the yes part. When you go through difficult times, as you cry out to God and say, God, I look to you, help me, my joy is going to be in you, not in this situation, and I cry tears of weeping, God is going to meet you right there. And your valley is going to get turned to a place of refreshing. So you say, bring on another valley. Anybody else got a valley for me? Come on, even the psalm says you go through the valley of the shadow of... Wow. Going to do what? Fear no evil. Fear no evil. How do you do that? People go through the valley of the shadow of death and never come out. A lot of people. And you know and I know people through the valley of the shadow of death. And you say and I say, how'd they get out? They were strong. They were strong. They were strong. Come on. They were strong. They were strong. I want to be that person. I know you do too. I know you do too. So it says here, verse 7, notice verse 7, they will continue to grow stronger. They will continue to grow stronger. They will continue to grow stronger. As they're approaching, is talking about, and appearing before God in Jerusalem. So the thought for you and me in this series is that I am continuing to grow stronger. My eyes focused on God. One translation says they have their heart set on pilgrimage. My heart is set on a journey. My journey is heaven. It's not the earth. It's not a house. It's not a condo. It's not a raise. My journey is heaven. And so since my journey and my focus is heaven, my joy is attached to where I'm going. And since my joy is attached to where I'm going, my strength is going to be found in the person to which my attention is focused towards, which is God. I'm going to draw my strength from Him. I'm going to have my joy from Him. My journey is toward Him, towards heaven. And it makes no difference how many valleys I go through, because you're going to go through several valleys. But you don't have to fear. You don't have to turn negative. You don't have to get critical. You don't have to wonder what's going on. It's called life. And as you trust God and you allow His strength to work in your life, you're going to pass through that valley. You're going to pass through it. And that weeping time and that crying time will be turned into a rejoicing time. That's the purpose that God has and allows for us to have valleys. We can go, one translation, New King James says, this translation says they get stronger. New King James says we go from strength to strength. Come on, everybody. Strength to strength. I don't believe you have to go from strength to weakness to strength. I believe you go from strength to strength. Strength to strength. Now, I was just thinking this past week, for me, and concerning people that I've just been around with my whole life, is I know people that are strong spiritually, but are weak mentally. I know people strong spiritually, but are weak in their body. I know people strong and fit and disciplined in their body, but can't break through an addiction in their soul, weak in their mind. I know people strong in their soul, maybe successful in business, but they can never grasp spiritual things and the things of God. I want to tell you, I believe you and I believe me included, that we can be strong in every area of our life. Spirit, soul, and body. And so if you're weak or deficient in any, I want to challenge you during these meetings that we're together on Sunday morning, that during this time that you just say, God, whatever it is that's going on here right now, that when the word is being preached and I'm hearing it, that you're just injecting strength into my life. And that you're going to lead me and guide me and direct me in scriptures that are going to work in my life They're going to allow this weakness to be made strong. Because you know what? The words "I can't" just don't need to be in your and my vocabulary. Words that "it's impossible" just don't need to be in our vocabulary. Words that "it's just I'm too old" or "I'm too young." Come on, young people. Just don't need to be in your vocabulary. You can do what God's called you to do. You can be who God's called you to be. You can go where God's called you to go. And you can keep gaining and growing in strength while you do it. Can you just say amen to that, huh? Now look with me to Ephesians chapter 6. Mark it in your Bible in whatever translation you have. Ephesians 6, 10 and 11. Anybody got a Bible this morning? Come on, anybody got a hard page Bible this morning? Come on, okay. Generally, come on, I got my phone here with my Bible on it. But if you got it on your phone there, mark it down. Ephesians 6, 10 through 11. And we're going to be looking at these other scriptures in the weeks ahead. But let's just read verse 10 and 11. Whatever translation you got, mark it in your Bible. I'm going to read from the Amplified Bible. The Amplified Bible. If you don't know about the Amplified Bible, it is also called the Woman's Translation, since it has more words. Come on, somebody. Verse 10, notice what it says. Let's read it out loud. Can we do it? Let's do it. 1, 2, 3, read. In conclusion, be strong in the Lord. Be empowered through your union with Him. Draw your strength from Him, that strength which His boundless might provides. Read verse 11 with me. Put on God's whole armor, the armor of a heavy armed soldier, which God supplies, that you may be able successfully to stand up against all the strategies and the deceits of the devil. Just keep verse 11 up there for a second. I don't know about you, but I want to be in that last kind of part, or the midway part, that I may be able successfully to stand up against all the strategies and deceits of the devil. Whatever deceit, whatever strategy comes against you and me, the Bible says here that if we will learn about God's armor and we will also put it on, we'll talk about that in the weeks ahead, that we will be able successfully to stand up against all. Do not buy the lie in any area that you can't in any area. I can't be strong in my body because of this and this addiction or this struggle or this heart or my lungs or my blood or my arthritis or my diabetes or my... Well, no, 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 no. 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 No, no. I just keep getting C's in school. And I can't... Well, a couple things. Maybe the C, maybe that class isn't your thing. Maybe the class isn't your thing. We got to get you in the right zone. We got to get you in the right zone. But you can be successful in anything. It's really talking about spiritual things that come against you. You can stand against it. The key is verse 10. Notice it again. In conclusion, be strong in the Lord. Be empowered through your union with Him. Draw your strength from Him, that strength which His boundless might provides. What I want to do for the time that we have, we're just going to start unwrapping this, and we'll be back next week. Hope you are too. In verse 10, notice the strength words. Notice, be strong, be empowered, draw your strength, that strength which His boundless might provides. If you want to find out how your life can be stronger, this scripture must be tattooed to your back. We're going to bring Mr. Ink under the tent after service to tattoo. If you carry it, carry it. Be strong. Be strong. Be empowered. Draw your strength. That strength He has is boundless. Boundless. Boundless, unending strength. Never running out strength. Anytime you need it kind of strength, it's available for you. Now, what I want to do this morning is I want to look at this. We'll talk in a minute about the be strong in the Lord part, but I want you to look at the other part, be empowered through your union with Him. Just want to talk about that for just a few minutes. Be empowered through your union with Him. Come on, say that with me. Be empowered through your union with Him. One more time. Be empowered through your union with Him. Just notice on the screen several things I want to draw your attention to that you can already figure out. Number one, the enemy will fight you concerning your union. Be empowered through your union with Him. So the enemy understands that. So the enemy, called the devil, is going to continually fight you concerning being unified and in union with God. Secondly, your union or your connection is spirit-based, not natural-based. Your union's got nothing to do with your sex, got nothing to do with your race, has nothing to do with your natural ability or not. The minute you make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, the Bible says you enter and you are joined with Him. It says a scripture that for many people, it'll tilt your head. But it says this, he that is joined to the Lord, meaning you're born again, you've given your heart to Jesus, is one spirit with Him. His spirit, called the Holy Spirit, is now your spirit. One spirit. You didn't get a lesser spirit than what He had. One spirit. The same spirit that rose Jesus from the dead now lives in you. The very same spirit. The same spirit that strengthened Him, that raised Him, that made Him alive, has moved on up in here. Come on, somebody. You got to be aware of that. You got to believe that. You got to think about that. You got to be meditating on that. You got to let that roll over in your mind. I'm not getting weaker. How could I get weaker? The same spirit that rose Jesus from the dead dwells in me. I'm one spirit with Jesus. If they tried to kill Jesus and they couldn't kill Jesus, the devil can't kill me. I'm one spirit with Him. You've got to be strong there. Or else when the tests come and the valley of weeping comes, we'll stay in the valley and not get out the other side. But if we say, my heart's set on God, I'm on a journey, Psalm 84, I'm going to keep getting stronger, the joy of the Lord's my strength, this valley is going to turn into a valley of rejoicing. So, this union is not based on feelings, emotions, or sense realm, or circumstances. Can I tell you, there's many times where you're going to have to pinch yourself and tell yourself you are strong when you feel weak. You're going to have to make yourself think in line with the Word of God when hell is all around you. You're going to have to. The Bible says this concerning David in 1 Samuel. David and his men were out doing God's will. And they came back looking across the plain at the city that's home called Ziklag. While they were out, the enemy came in and took all their wives and took all their kids and burned the city down. They see the smoke. They come to the city and everything's gone. They're seeing footprints go out. David, the Bible says, and his men, they're weary. They've been beat down fighting the enemy. They come home and now everything's gone. Can you imagine emotionally what you're going through? You don't only fight for our military men and women. You're not only fighting out there, wherever there is, over in the Middle East. You come home and it's hell at the house. that happens to many of our men and women. We need to be praying for them, huh? And so David comes home, and the Bible says grown men, warriors, got swords on their, come on, got all painted up, that had just come back, got blood on them from, come on, this is the picture. And they come home, and the Bible says they started weeping uncontrollably for the loss of their families. And then it turned, their weeping turned towards animosity toward David. And the Bible says they wanted to kill David. But David did something none of the other brothers did. The Bible says this, David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. David found out how I get out of this situation and how I bring others out of this situation is I remember who God is. I remember what God's done. I remember what God said, that this valley of weeping will not be dominant in my life. I'm going to pass through and I'm going to take y'all with me. Come on, somebody. So come on, how about moms, dads? How about family members? How about brothers, sisters? How about maybe junior high kids that are here? You don't let anything dominate you. You start dominating it and you bring others out with you. Huh? Yeah. 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 Now, we talk about that your connection is so huge here because it tells us that we're to be empowered. Ephesians 6:10, be empowered through our union with God, through our union with Him. So let me just talk for just a few minutes about two areas of your union with God that you must regularly be reminded of. Two areas, and we're going to look at it from this scripture in Romans 5:17. Romans 5:17 says this. Again, this is in the New Testament. The Apostle Paul writing to a church, just like he'd be writing to Spectrum Church. Notice what it says. For if by one man's offense death reigned through that one. Now, if you don't know what he's talking about, what he's mentioning, Paul is going back and talking about this first man called Adam. That through the first man called Adam, death or offense, it reigned. When he sinned, the Bible says this death nature passed to all of us. So it says, through one man's offense, one man's misgiving, which is Adam, death reigned through the one. Much more, though, those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Guys, this is an amazing scripture. I don't know about you, but I plan on reigning in life. How about you? I want to reign in every area of my life. I want to have success in every area of my life. And I believe you do too. And it tells us two keys here on how to do that. This scripture outlines that emphatically for you and I. And these are the two areas that the devil will fight you, where it says to be empowered through your union with him. Here are two factors concerning your and my life where the devil will attack our union. Number one, it's grace. And number two, it's righteousness. The word grace means God's unmerited, unearned, and undeserved favor. That God says, I'm going to give you my grace. You can't merit it. You can't work for it. You can't earn it. You don't deserve it. I'm giving it to you just simply because Jesus Christ paid the price. You get grace. You get favor. You get loving kindness. You continually have access to God's generosity, not based on what you do. Listen to me, please. Because the devil beats Christians up all the time. You hadn't read your Bible this week, have you? God's going to knock you up beside a head, man. I hear it all the time. My car, man, I got car trouble, and I know I've not been praying like I should. What? What? So you're equating car trouble with no prayer, so God's saying, I'm going to wreck your car because you're not praying me. Does God want you praying? Absolutely. Does God want you reading the Word? Of course, because you're going to get stronger doing it. You're going to find out more and more about Him. But He's not causing bad things to happen for you if you don't. That's not what He's doing. It's not what He's doing. That's not what He's doing. He's got grace. Unmerited. Unearned. Undeserved. I don't deserve it. But He gives it anyway. Another definition for grace means God's sovereign divine ability to get the job done in your behalf when you can't do it. Lord, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to do it. God's sovereign divine ability to get the job done on our behalf, even though we can't do it. And just lastly, grace means God's divine enablement. It's just His divine enablement in your life. He enables you to do what you can't do by yourself. I mean, come on, let's get real. Who wants to walk in love with brother unlovely? I mean. And so you got these people you work with all the time. You got these people in your family all the time. And so God's just saying, listen, the only way to do it is realizing, do it by faith, do it by grace. I'm going to enable you to do it. I'm going to strengthen you to do it. The devil is going to fight you right there at that union. Be empowered through your union with Him. And grace is going to be a huge area you're going to have to keep a tab on. Because if you're not careful, you will begin thinking, I have to work for this. I have to earn His favor. He just gives it freely. Because He loves you. He's passionate about you. Come on, He's got your face on the fridge. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. So He's going to fight you at that. And the Scripture says, receive. Notice what it just says there. It told us in Romans, receive the abundance of grace. I love that. Receive the abundance of grace. Come on, receive. Come on, say that with me. Receive the abundance of grace. One more time. Receive the abundance of grace. So your and my part is to completely just receiving. I receive, Father, today the abundance of Your grace. Notice the abundance of grace. The abundance, the never-ending, always replenishing supply of grace. I receive it. Maybe tomorrow you're going to need more grace than you do today. Guess what? There's going to be an abundance for you. Let God empower you in that area. Then the second area is what it tells us here, this Scripture. It says we're going to receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. We can reign in life. We can reign in life. We can dominate life. Can I say it that way? Come on, we can dominate life. Life is not to dominate you. You are to dominate life. So you're going to have to dominate life through not having to work for something and earn something, but you receive the abundance of grace. But then it also says the gift of righteousness. Come on, say that with me. The gift of righteousness. Well, come on, one more time. The gift of righteousness. Now, think with me. What do you do with a gift? You know, Anthony came up to me today and said, hey, Pastor, I got a gift for you. I'd be like, come on, man, you for real? Yeah, I got a gift for you. Guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to receive it. I'm going to receive it. I'm going to thank Him for it. I'm going to open it. And I'm going to use it. I'm going to receive it. I'm going to thank Him for it. I'm going to open it. And I'm going to put it working. I'm going to use it. He's going to buy me a new bicycle. I feel it right up in here. He's just going to, I feel it. It's just like it jumped on the inside of me right there. The gift of righteousness is a gift. And righteousness is amazing. Big term. I never understood this term when I was a kid growing in church. I never understood it. Righteousness. What the heck is that word? Pastor always said it every Sunday. Righteousness. Righteousness. The definition of righteousness means this. The ability to stand in the presence of God without the sense of shame, guilt, or inferiority. Listen, don't look around at anybody today. Look straight up here at me. I can't see you real well, but look at me. Do you have this right now. Or, as you read that, somehow, somewhere, in a certain area of your life, there's shame, there's guilt, there's inferiority. If you have shame, guilt, or a bad feeling about yourself, inferiority, in any area of your life, that is the place the devil will try to break your union with God, where he weakens you and you don't get stronger. And if he weakens you there, he will work on another area. You have the ability, by grace, based on nothing you've done, earned, or could ever do, to stand in the presence of God 100% guiltless. Now listen to me, let's get real. I know you've been divorced. I know you watched pornography. I know you did drugs. I know you're battling an addiction right now. I know you lied last week. I know you got offended and said things to your wife yesterday. This scripture says you can still stand in his presence without shame, guilt, and inferiority. How? The minute you ask him to forgive you, he puts you back in a place, 1 John 1:9, of right standing like you never sinned. The devil will try to remind you of what you did. Listen to me. Don't fight him concerning what you did. Fight him concerning who you are. Everybody in the room, including me, top of the totem pole, sin all the time. But listen to me. I'm not a sinner. I'm a son of God. And so are you. So are you. I'm not a sinner who sometimes is a son of God. I'm a son of God who sometimes sins. The devil will fight you at two unions. Grace, his unmerited, unearned, undeserved favor in your life. And if he can't fight you there, he's going to fight you, concerning righteousness. The ability for you to stand in the presence of God without the sense of shame, guilt, or inferiority. If you will win these two battles, what you're going to find is you will keep getting stronger in every area of your life. Come on, somebody. Every area of your life. Every area. Amen? That's it. That's all we're going to quit there. It's a good place to quit. Come on, everybody. That's a good place to quit. Come on, it's a good place to quit. Come on, go Chargers. Come on, somebody. I don't know. Are the Chargers playing the Raiders today? Oh, Jesus, help me. Help me. How many Raiders we got in the house? How many Raiders? That were the biggest Raider fan right in the front row, Deb Bashman. I tell you, can I say this about Deb? If your kids are in children's ministry, they will come out Raiders fans. That's all I'm telling you. They're going to come out Raiders fans. Come on, stand up, everybody. Let's pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, we just thank you for the Word. As we've just begun getting into this morning, I pray the entrance of the Word has given us all light, Father. It's changing the way we think. It's changing what we expect, Father. I pray today for anyone today. I know there's probably several going through a valley of weeping. Father God, we pray today, make it a place of refreshing. Turn it, Lord God, as they find out and understand who they are by your grace and by right standing with you. Let their heart be changed and thought, Father, just let their heart be mindful on a journey with you. This isn't the end of their life, that you're working in them your perfect will and perfect plan, Father. And you'll use difficulty. You'll use what's coming against them to turn it around, and they'll see your goodness even in pain. I pray if there's areas in all of our lives, mine included, where we're weak, that we get stronger. We understand nothing happens by accident. It's not just going to happen. We make adjustments. We change the way we think. We change what we believe. When we don't stay at the same level, Father, we want to go from glory to glory, strength to strength, faith to faith. You said in that scripture, they got stronger as they went. They continued to grow stronger. That's what we want, Father. And we know that the strength we have today isn't enough for our tomorrow. We're going to have to keep getting stronger. So, Father, I pray you helping us in spirit, soul, body, that we finish our race, we finish our course with joy. The ministry, the assignment you've got for us to reach people for Jesus Christ, to be effective in our lives, oh God. Help us become stronger. Would you just pray that? Help me become stronger. Help me become stronger. And so, Holy Spirit, show every person, me included, every person this week, what that means, what areas. And Holy Spirit, help us here. Help me here. You're trying to help me, not hurt me. You're trying to make me stronger. There's things I don't see. I need you to show me. So reveal the love of the Father, the plan of the Father. Pray. In Jesus' name. Just with your head bowed, your eyes closed. Maybe you're here today and you know, first time with us, or you've been here 100 times. But you've just never made that sellout commitment that I want God in my life. I want Jesus. I wanna be stronger. I want to go God's way. We're here for you. We're not here against you. We're not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to point you out. I'm not going to have you come up to the front of the church. But we're going to lead you and lead others into a prayer this morning. Will you just say, I want to go your way. I want to change what's going on in my life. And I want to receive you as Lord and Savior. If you prayed that prayer before, but something's burning in your heart again today, say it out loud with us as we all pray in just a moment. Let just agreement come to say, today something's changing. I don't care how many times I've prayed it before, something's changing today. And if you've never prayed that, let this be the first prayer of a new life. The Bible says when you pray it, God's going to open up His purpose and His will for your life. He's going to cause a new spirit to come alive in you. You're going to have new desires and new direction, and things are going to change around. You'll see things in a new way. The Bible, instead of becoming a dead book, it'll just be a live book to you. So everybody, just pray this prayer out loud with me right now. Would you do it? Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you right now in Jesus' name. I'm turning from my way and I'm turning towards you. I'm asking you right now to save me. Be my Lord and be my master forever and ever in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, everybody. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, hey, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, the Bible says you're a Christian, you're born again, you're a child of God. We're going to have prayer partners that are going to be up here in just the next couple of moments that would love to pray with you about that and or anything else going on in your life. If that's your first time you prayed that prayer.